Seeking the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention, I will direct your thoughts to the chapter we read, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. In this chapter, God's servant Moses takes the mantle of prophecy. We often think of him as the lawgiver under God's hand, and that was certainly perhaps the major work he was called to. We also know of him as a mediator, how often he prayed for Israel, even when they treated him most disgracefully. Again and again he bore their reproach and took his cause and case to the Lord. But in this chapter, he is blessed with the spirit of prophecy. And before he parts and is parted from the people he served for so many years, he pronounces the blessing that God commands him to give to the tribes who are about to enter the promised land. Now, neither Aaron nor Moses could impart the blessing. Remember, Aaron was commanded in Numbers chapter 6, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and grant thee peace." Aaron was to pronounce that blessing. But even Aaron, good godly man though he was, could not impart it. Likewise, Moses here, he pronounced these blessings in the spirit of prophecy, but only the God of Israel could make them spirit and life and truth to those to whom he was speaking. But you know, when our Lord, we read in Luke 24, he led them out as far as the Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he blessed him, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Friends, he not only pronounced the blessing, but he imparted it. And if ever, dear friends, he stretches his hands over you and blesses you in that way, you'll know it. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, to which he addeth no sorrow. Now, the blessings that Moses was commanded to speak of had a double purpose. On the one hand, they related very much to the various parts of the land that the tribes were to occupy. And the blessing that was imparted or given exactly suited the part of the land, even in the natural sense, where they were to be placed. But also, secondly, it had to do with the purposes of God in that part of the land where they were to dwell. And so it is, dear friend, when the Lord gives you a promise, or he speaks some word of direction, some word of encouragement, some word of prophecy, it not only confirms the place, the path you're in, but also indicates the purpose of God in that path. And you will find when the Lord does give a promise like that, that as the path proceeds, so the promise opens up more and more. And you become more and more aware of why the Lord gave it and why you needed it. And how we do need the blessing of the Lord. Oh, friends, it's a vital thing, isn't it? I think of Boaz when he went into the house, into the gleaning field. He pronounced a blessing on his gleaners, didn't he, and reapers. Not many employers do that in our day, do they? But you know, the heavenly Boaz does bless his reapers and his gleaners. Blessed be his holy name. So dear Moses, on the very brink of eternity, soon to enter the rest that remaineth of the people of God, as God's mouthpiece for the last time pronounces these blessings, he comes to Asher. In the previous verse, he speaks about Asher being blessed with children, made accept with the brethren, and then his feet to be dipped in oil. And then he says, thy shoe shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. What does it tell us then tonight about Asher and about those who may be blessed with such a word as this? The first thing, and with a very simple thought this evening, the first thing is this: there's two shalls. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And that tells you two things, dear friends. One, you're going to need shoes of iron and brass. And secondly, you're going to need the strength that goes with them. And the promise is given. They shall, your shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy day, so shall thy strength be. So spoken to those then who, under the divine influence of the Holy Spirit, are led forth by the right way that leadeth to a city of habitation, and as they go, the Lord has promised that they will have shoes to walk in and strength to walk in those shoes. You see, in a sense, when the Lord gives you a promise, and there are those of us here tonight whom he has given by his blessed Spirit those things that belong to us personally, that it always brings with it a way to be walked out. A way to be walked out. If, for example, you'd have this word: can a woman forget her sucking child? They should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. So what do you mean? Well, there's a word for those who may feel to be forgotten, bypassed, out of the way, not recognised, not known by others. But the Lord says to that one, though that may be so, though even saints may neglect and sinners ignore, I will not. I will not. Behold, I have grained with the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. Or to put it in the language that dear Paul does in Hebrews 13, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So come back to Asher then. He had a path to walk, hadn't he? You don't have shoes just to hang on the wall, as it were, as an ornament. They had to be walked in. And if you read your Bible carefully, a very remarkable miracle attended the shoes of the children of Israel. They didn't wear out. Didn't wear out. I knew of a lady, she was, who attempted to walk up Snowdon in most foolish shoes. They were not equipped, and by the time you're halfway up, they were useless. You had to throw them away. And someone had to carry her to get her back down. Now, my dear friends, God's shoes are not like that. They never wear out. What a mercy. What a mercy to have something that lasts through all the rocky path, all the stony way, all the thorns, all the thistles, all the brambles. Shoes that can, as it were, endure whatever may be in the way. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So the Lord is telling Asher, there's a way to walk. He's saying to Asher, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now, if you go to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, or according to Luke, you read of the prodigal son. No doubt he went out with some shoes when he slammed the door in his father's face, but no more of your prayers, or your advice, or your counsel, your narrow ways. Oh, you can see something better, Father. I want to expand my lot. I want to enjoy my life. I want a good life. And I'm not going to get it if I remain with you. And so he turned his back on his father's prayers and the godly home he's brought up in. And off he goes into a far country. And he had plenty of money to spend at first, and no doubt a good pair of shoes as far as nature was concerned. But friends, we've sung in us, very struck in that hymn you sung, the limits of God's love. The limits of God's love. Not one of the elect vessels of mercy will stray beyond that. Neither you nor I can say where that limit is. I think the prodigal son went pretty near, we might say, the limit of it. But God has a long and outstretched arm. And he stretched out. And he waited. He waited. Until that prodigal son had spent all his money. And when he spent all his money, all the supposed friends he thought he had evaporated. And there he was, far away from home. He needed somewhat to live on. So he hires himself as a feeder of swine. He goes out with them and sits down. And he begins to reflect on his ways. Naturally speaking, he seems ready to faint. Spiritually speaking, he comes to himself. And he remembers his father's house. And he remembers how well fed he was there, and even his servants. And so he makes his way back. And he hopes that his father might at least put him in the servants' quarters. At least have a roof over his head. And at least he would be fed and perhaps earn some money to live an existence. Friend, he didn't know his father's heart, did he? But though he turned his back on his father's prayers, the father still prayed. Though he turned his back on his father's counsel, the Lord still exercised that father's heart toward that lad. And where the father couldn't reach him, the Lord could. And the Lord did. The mighty famine comes. It exposes his need, and back he comes. In all his rags and smell of the swine. What a pitiable sight he must have been. What a comparison to how he left home, to what he was when he returned. But his father, seeing him afar off, runs and kisses him. He kisses him while he's yet in his rags and smelling of the swine. He kisses him while he's yet a wretched and a forlorn figure. And that kiss, dear friends, was a kiss of forgiveness. He didn't run out and kiss him while he was with the harlots. No. No one is wasting his substance with righteous living. He didn't kiss him then. But as soon as he saw repentance, as soon as he saw the turn back on his ways, out the father ran and embraced him. Flung his arms around him, brought him back home. So what's this to do with our text? Well, one of the things the father gave him was shoes. Put shoes on his feet. Why is that? Now he's got a different path to walk. Now he's got to walk the path of faith and repentance and obedience and love. And he needs shoes for it. And Paul tells us what those shoes are. The preparation of the gospel of peace. And friends, if ever you have received in your heart the preparation of the gospel of peace, you will walk in Christ's ways. Indeed, you have it, don't you, in the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And there may be one tonight say, yes, I know what you're saying, but I can see all sorts of dangers. I've got a wretched heart still, you have. I've got a devil who opposes, yes. I've got a world who will not help me, I know that. And I've heard of the Lord's people having crooks in the lot and thorns in the flesh and fiery trials and deep waters. Oh, these things make me tremble. Yes, they're all true. But thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. In other words, Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you, undismayed, go on. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. It's true. And friend, the fires won't consume the shoes God gives you. You won't lose them in the deep waters. They'll carry you through. That promise he's given you. That thus saith the Lord your soul hangs upon. That word you have to plead again and again. Thou saidst, remember the word unto thy servant, for which thou hast caused me to hope. friend, that word will stand by you. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Well, why iron and brass? There is another interpretation of our text, that under your shoes shall be iron and brass. Now, I think it referred in that respect to the land where Asher lived. There was a lot of mining, a lot of rich metals to be mined there. And that reminds us, dear friend, the paths of God's dear people. You can't see the metals underneath, they have to be mined. Well, sometimes you're led in paths that you cannot see what the Lord is doing. But he'll give you the treasures of darkness and bring to light those hidden things. That's where you are tonight, perhaps. Everything seems hidden, covered over. I'll give you the treasures of darkness. Yes, and bring to light those secret things under your feet. Even tonight, poor tried and tempted one, there are these rich treasures which the Lord will bring to light in due season. In due season. But take it the way that I started out. These are shoes to walking, aren't they? Iron and brass. What does iron speak to us of? I think it speaks to us of the faith that God gives his people in the unchanging, unfailing Word of God. That is a vital thing to have. We are to walk in God's ways. They are paths for those who possess the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith that rests on the unchanging God who speaks. I think Martin Luther, in warning his congregation not to rest on feelings only, said, they come and they go, but God's word shall stand forever. And friends, if he gives you from his holy lip a word in season, that will stand. Sometimes you'll feel the sweetness of it. Other times, when the way is rough and the coward flesh would start, you may lose the sweetness, but the God who gave you hasn't changed. And the purpose in it that he gave you has not altered one iota. And you'll find it'll come through. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. You see, dear friends, a notional faith will soon get blown away by the first blast of temptation. Denominational faith. And don't get me wrong, I love our group of church. I wouldn't wish to be anywhere else, but that won't save me. That won't save me, nor you either. Friends, we need to have a faith that comes from the Holy Ghost in our heart, that anchors Christ within us, and anchors us to Christ. That's what we need. And that's the iron of our text. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And friend, these precious promises God gives his people for them to anchor their faith in, they stand, they endure, and they come through. Yes, they may try you like they did Joseph. The word tried him, we're told. Till it came, till it was fulfilled, it tried him, it tested him. He must have all sorts of thoughts about it, and you're sure the devil wasn't silent either. But when it was fulfilled, he could see. That path he'd walked in was God's preparation for the fulfillment of it. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. So on the first part then, we need faith in God's holy, unchanging, infallible word. Secondly, prayer. Friends, you'll never get to heaven unless you're a praying soul. Do remember that. Even the dying thief prayed on the cross he was dying on. Oh, how vital it is, prayer. It's the Christian's vital breath, his native air, his watchword, the gates of death. He enters heaven by prayer. Friends, such is the life of God in the soul. God's people cannot live without prayer. No, I'm not saying there aren't some prayerless times. Sadly, there are. There are some backsliding times when prayer becomes cold and formal, and religion becomes a drudge to our poor flesh. They're sad times, aren't they? But I do believe that once God has kindled the life of prayer in the soul, it never quite goes out. And God will bring something to that backsliding soul to stir it into a flame. may bring the rod, some sharp difficulty, some trial, some affliction, some disappointment, and it awakens you once more to your need of prayer. And like the good hymn writer, prove you cannot do without him. That's real religion. You cannot do without him. Before you were called by grace, you could. At least you thought you could. But once you were called by grace, you cannot do without him. You need his presence every passing hour. You need his word. You need his grace. You need his mercy. You need Christ. And you begin to pray earnestly for him. Thy shoe shall be iron and brass. Faith and prayer, these two blessed ingredients of the life of God in the soul. And though some of us have professed and have been praying for many years, we still have to begin our prayer so often. Lord, teach us to pray. You say, surely you know how to pray after all these years, don't you? Friends, I'm still a learner yet. And we need God to teach us how to pray and for what to pray. And I'm thankful, dear friends, that he loves the simple. Those simple prayers that sometimes rise up, and we're at our best sometimes when we're at our simplest. We get so complicated, don't we? But no, when we get into these difficulties, a lot of the complications have to go. It's this: give me Christ or else I die. Lord, appear. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, bless me. Thy shoe shall be iron and brass. And the wonderful thing is, wherever those shoes take you in God's providence, there'll always be a God to go to. Always. Jacob goes down to Laban, and there for many long years he lives under the yoke that Laban laid on him, and he changed his wages 10 times. He was treated disgracefully. And yet the Lord kept him there until the work had been done, the discipline had taken its course, and then the Lord delivered him. But oh, how he needed prayer there, didn't he? Every day he must have needed it. And perhaps in the path you're in, you're like that. You're under divine discipline. You need prayer to help you through. And then when he returns at God's command, how Esau comes against him again. He hastens to prayer. He wrestles with the angel all that memorable night. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You cannot live without prayer long, dear friends, if you're a child of God. And how often it's the only remedy. How often it's the only door left, isn't it? The one last resort, you might say. Prayer. Perhaps you're there at the moment. You've tried every other door. Have you tried the door of prayer? Knock at Jesus' door. The door of his mercy stands open all day. The poor and the needy, you knock by the way. No sinner was ever yet empty sent back who come seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. And you think some of the strange places prayer was offered and heard. Jonah, in the belly of the whale, deep down under the water of the Mediterranean Sea. No human arm could possibly reach him. Nor could he do anything for himself except pray. Except pray. And the Lord heard it. David prayed out of a horrible pit and miry clay. Jeremiah prayed out of a dungeon, the dying thief on a cross. Oh, the places God has heard prayer on. And blessed be God, he does. Many years ago, I was called to a church meeting in one of the Wiltshire churches to chair a church where someone came forward. And this man told us how the Lord began with him. And he used to work in a nursery, with plants. After school, he'd go to school, hurry home from school and go and help in the nursery. And the man who owned the nursery or ran it was a godly man. And this young lad hurried home to the nursery one afternoon and couldn't find this man. There was a long queue of customers waiting to be served, and he didn't know what to do. And he was quite frustrated. And he hunted everywhere. Eventually he said, I haven't looked in the coal hole. And he opened the coal hole. And there was this man leaning on the coals with a Bible in his hand and a torch, weeping and praying over the word he was reading. He said, I shut the door, the place was holy ground, and I realised there was something in real religion I hadn't got. Prayer, friends, is vital. No wonder Ananias was convinced in the end when the Lord sent him to deal with Saul of Tarsus. Lord, this man's come to pay me to death and others. Go thy way, Ananias. He's a chosen vessel unto me. Behold, he prayeth. That was enough for Ananias. Behold, he prayeth. He's pleading the name of Jesus that he once despised. And I've heard his prayer. Behold, he prayeth. Now, young and old here tonight, can it be said of you, behold, he prayeth? Not just in chapel, but I hope you do pray here, because you should do. What about when you're on your own, where no other eye can see, neither parent nor brother nor sister nor friend, you and God alone? Do you pray then? Do you pray then? Well, Asher needed prayer. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now the Lord doesn't say how long, how many days there are going to be. God is a sovereign in that. We know some people live much longer than others. Some people live to a great age. Others are taken from this time state, we would say relatively early. We shouldn't say prematurely, because God is never premature in any of his dealings. But to us it seems sometimes premature. But in this text this evening hour, the number of those days is known to your God. He's known to your God. And not only that, all that's in those days. The times of prosperity that we hope may come, but the times of adversity. The times of health. The times of affliction. The times when everything seems to be going well, and sometimes when everything seems to be going wrong. Times when you feel and know the power of your Lord's love to you, and other times he hides his face and you wonder, did I ever love him? And does he love me? Oh, these are times that come into the path of God's dear people. But our text is saying, though, God will give you strength for the day. Not just strength when you can see your way ahead clearly, but when you can't. When you can't see the next step. When you need to come just where you are and take you by the hand and lead you on. I'll bring the blind by a way they knew not. I'll lead them in paths they've not known. I'll make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. You notice Isaiah, in quoting what God told him to say, he did not say, these things I'll do for them. He could have said that. He said, unto. What's the difference? Sanctification. Sanctification. And so, dear friends, I told you this afternoon, so vital, isn't it? That what we come into, the Lord should overrule for his honour and glory and for our eternal good. And so, thy days are all in his hand. Some days will surprise you. Things will come into your life you never planned for, never expected. Things perhaps you'd like to run away from, but no. The Lord says, stand still, be still, sit still. I know what I'm about. And so Job had to say, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And later on in that same chapter, it is God that performeth the things appointed for me. Many such things are with him. Many. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So it comes back to our text this morning, afternoon, doesn't it? Where will you get your strength from? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In reading Isaiah 40 the other day, I was very struck by an expression we don't often use. Them that have no might. No might. Not just a little strength. No, none whatsoever. When we get to that point, we really are destitute. then we are dependent on our God for everything. That's when he comes. That's when he comes. He tarries off till men are faint, and then he comes at evening late. So shall thy strength be. And it means three things, friends. Number one, he'll never lay on you more than is just. Now remember that. Are you quarrelling with God tonight? He's been unfair, unkind. Others have got a much easier path than you. Are you right to talk to your God like that? Are you suggesting he's made a mistake? Isn't he not too wise to err, too good to be unkind? No, he's made no mistake. All the mistakes are yours and mine, not his. The second thing is, he'll never lay on you more than he gives you strength to bear. He's a kind God. Whatever load he gives you, so he will balance that load with his strength. If you go down to Southampton and see those huge liners in the Solent, go in the harbour there, waiting to go across the seas, you'll see what are called plimsoll lines on the side. They're very important because according to where that ship is going, because of the different density of the water in certain places, they had to make sure that either ship wasn't overloaded, in other words, it mustn't go below the plimsoll line, or underloaded, it'd be unstable. They had to have enough weight on board to keep it to that plimsoll line. So Samuel Plimsoll was the man who invented those lines. Now, friends, God knows exactly where your plimsoll line is. Exactly. He'll never give you more than he gives you strength to bear. Oh, do remember that. And when you're at the end of your strength, it's only that you may draw from his. When you're at the end of your wisdom, it's only that you may draw from his. He's not unjust. He's not unkind. He knows the way that you take. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. And the third thing about your path is this, dear friends. When it seems weighty, burdened, awkward, take a view of your Lord Jesus Christ, whose way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, there's no armour for the back here. There may be one here tonight and you felt the Lord did put you in the way, but now it's become difficult. And the devil's saying, go back. Give it all up. No, there's no armour for the back. You're to go on. And the Lord will help you go on. Yes. Because thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Oh, how often we might say, like poor Moses, and I know just how the dear man felt when he first went before Pharaoh. I think he thought Pharaoh would listen, see the miracles, and let the God's people go. But no, it made matters 10 times worse. They had told them they had to make bricks without straw, get the straw for themselves, yet bring the same number of bricks. The lashes were much harder on the backs of the poor Israelite slaves. And they complained to Moses, you should have left us alone, Moses. By meddling you made it 10 times worse. And he goes back to the Lord. He said, Lord, look what's happened. Everything's got worse since thou didst send me. I never expected it like this. Didn't they not say, certainly I will be with thee? Now look. And then what did the Lord say? It's been a help to me many times. When I get to the end of my wisdom, that's very often. Now thou shalt see what I will do. What I will do. Now, dear friend, that's what you need to be looking at tonight. What he will do. What he said to Philip, or said about Philip, when he asked him about the feeding of the 5,000. Remember, poor Philip was trying to calculate what was needed, how many shops to go to, and he came to a complete standstill. But we read of our Saviour, he himself knew what he would do. And friend, he knows just what he's going to do with your path tonight. He's not wondering what to do. He's not in a quandary. He's not perplexed. He knows what he will do. And while he even said that, there's the lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And though we don't think enough about that lad, I believe that lad had faith. He believed that the Lord could do something with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Do you believe that tonight? Is there a lad here tonight? I don't mean necessarily age-wise, but it might be age-wise. And there you need the Lord to do something for you. What did that lad do? Friends, he gave those 5 loaves and 2 fishes at the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are they among so many, said the unbelieving disciples. Make the men sit down, said the Saviour. He lifts his lovely eyes toward heaven, praises the Lord for the provision. And then he begins to break. And they did all eat and were filled. That's the God we adore. Our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as large as his power and knows no beginning nor end. Whatever lies before you in this way, even down to your dying day, dear friends, your shoes will be iron and brass. And as your day, so shall your strength be. And when you come down to die, and die you must. There's a very strange expression in the Psalms that it's not strange really, but it seems a strange one. David was near the end of his days, getting to the end of his years, old and grey-headed. And he prayed he would recover strength before he went hence. Well, I mean, dying is losing all our strength, isn't it? What did he mean? Friends, it was his faith. Oh, Lord, let me recover strength of faith, which seemed perhaps to be rather weak at that moment. Lord, let me recover that when I come to a dying bed. And when he did come to his dying bed, what did the dear man say? Though my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordering all things, and sure, this is all my salvation and all my desire. Friend, that man died right. He died right. Why? His shoes were iron and brass. And as his day, so was his strength. And the prayers of David have long finished, haven't they? He's been singing the praise of the eternal God ever since he passed from this time scene. Oh, may God give us David's heart. The heart like his God. The man after mine own heart, the Lord called him. And friends, he lived well by grace. He made his mistakes. But blessed be God, the covenant, those everlasting arms we read of in this very chapter, carried him safely home. And so they will you. Poor tempted, tried believer tonight. The Lord knows what he will have you do. He knows how to bring you to it. And he's promised, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. How do they endure? Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy day, so shall thy strength be. May God add his blessing. Amen.